things get a little bit grim. But this is especially heinous.
Did you tell the police that she was murdered, May?
Nope.
Witchy ghost stuff.
Ah!
That made me scared.
A spooky girl amateur hour.
Hey, Jenny.
Hi, Taylor. Do we have time for ASMR?
Yeah. Ooh, nice.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to interject one of those here later. I'm about halfway done with mine. I'm drinking a fizzy, a hard seltzer with pineapple mango, and it is very good. I'm going to say, and it's got antioxidants and vitamin C in it. It's basically a fruit smoothie.
It's kombucha.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With alcohol in it.
Yeah. I think kombucha has, well, it's fermented.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Kombucha's not going to get you drunk.
No. No, it's not.
This will.
That will get you drunk. So far superior to kombucha.
Right.
Yeah. So how's it going?
Oh, it's going.
How's your week?
Busy.
Mm-hmm.
Busy. I trained 2 new folks. And when I say that the technological skill set is a negative on the scale, I mean, I said, okay, go ahead and put my contact number in your phone. And he handed me his phone.
I love that.
And I said, no. I want you to do it.
It is very drunk girl at the bar vibes.
And he
said, put my number in your phone.
I don't know how.
Oh.
And so we went through how to scroll with a mouse, how to send an email.
Oh, we're going back to the basics.
Back to the basics. We went back to preschool technology. He was so sweet and so kind and truly wanted to learn. It made my heart happy. But the amount of things that I have not ever even thought of, I had to think of in the moment. And then a man told me that I looked smart with my glasses on today, and I said, bitch, I am smart.
Oh my God. Why are men? Just in general.
Garbage. How was your day? How was your week?
Listen, it's been a tumultuous one, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
For sure has. There's a lot of big feels going on. I'm sure there's some planet out there fucking up my life.
Yeah, we both survived Father's Day.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of.
Well, we got through it.
We're still here.
Hashtag Dead Dad Club.
Hashtag Dead Dad Club. Thank you to everyone who liked our post on Instagram. That was kind of you.
It made our hearts feel warm.
Yes. Today is true crime. So if anything is going to warm your heart.
Boy, is it murder.
Boy, is it some actual murder. But that's okay.
Yeah.
If you're here, it means you also like murder, and this is probably how you get through your day.
We need to consult with why this happens. It is so fascinating to me that people like get pleasure out of hearing stuff like this. And I do.
Right.
That's why we have this podcast.
The last time I talked to my therapist, I told her that I have a podcast, and I had not told her before, and I've seen my therapist for probably like 6 or 8 months now, and I'd been like holding it back because I wasn't really sure how to describe this to my therapist in a way that wasn't going to make her commit me immediately.
The least alarming way to describe our recreational hobby.
Right. And so she understands that I love the research aspect of this. I love that it is time consuming and that it's something that I can put like my heart and soul into and focus on and put energy to that isn't just my own chaos. Because when I'm not busy enough, my chaos just gets thrown around in random places.
Yeah.
So this is a focus, which is fantastic.
Centered chaos.
But she was like, but explain to me why we decided on all of the horrible things that can happen to people. And I said, of all the shit I've been through, at least I haven't been through this. And if somebody was going to try to murder me, I'd have all of this background knowledge in my head as to how am I going to deal with this.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, like, the other, what was it, like a month ago, my power went out in the middle of the night.
Oh, and I remember this.
I am a anxiety-ridden human being. So there was a loud bang, my power went out, we were having water issues, and we needed our sump pump to be working. Of course, if your electricity is out, that means your sump pump's not going to be working. So I hopped out of bed, went downstairs, there wasn't any water coming in. But of course I can't go back to sleep because there's
the power's out.
So like all of my white noise things are gone.
Now you're just stuck with the silence.
Yeah, and I looked out my window and I could see that two of my other neighbors had their lights on.
Oh.
And it was the middle of the night, so
no.
I was thinking, oh shit, it's just me. So your girl immediately gets bra on, baggy hoodie on, leggings on, socks, my boots.
You stop for socks?
Girl, I can't be putting my bare feet into boots. Are you kidding me?
You are minutes away, potentially, from being axe murdered. You're worried about your feet sweating?
Yeah, what if I have to hide in the woods for days on end? I want my feet to be toasty warm.
If you're hiding in the woods for day on end, there are just so many other things that are going to be your demise.
I was very concerned about having socks on.
No blisters for me.
No, I like socks. I don't like... I don't like to wear shoes without socks.
Okay.
It freaks me out.
Okay.
And I would have been focused on bare feet in boots instead of focusing on a possible attack.
I cannot handle your logic. This is the barn and wood scenario all over again.
I know.
Taylor and I have a recurring argument that we like to bring up about once a quarter.
Let's not tell them what our sides are.
Okay.
We're going to leave this up to you guys. Y'all let us know what you think.
So.
Here's the scenario. We're going to lay it out for you.
Yes. You're in a house. There are people there chasing after you. Regular humans think like the strangers.
Yes, think strangers.
You're running away. You get out the front door. You have a little bit of a head start. In front of you is a barn.
Mm-hmm.
And on the other side of you are woods, forest. You're unfamiliar with it. Where do you run to? What do you run to for safety?
We're going to post this on the Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to ask for your commentary because we need an answer. Because Jenny and I are never going to come to the same conclusion by ourselves.
No. Your conclusion is wrong.
Wow.
It just is.
Just gonna call me out like that, huh?
I just want you to survive.
Yes, ma'am.
Is all.
Yes, ma'am, I am. I'm gonna call you out like that, shit.
Jody, is that you?
Yeah. Yep. She's alive and well.
Oh my god. Anyway, speaking of horror and true crime and murder,
I have one for you.
I need to hear all about it.
All right.
Does it involve somebody running into a barn and or woods?
No.
Got it.
It doesn't. It does have to do with a terrible man, shockingly.
Throw a dart, you'll get closer.
Right. And a woman named Terry.
Okay.
So this is the story of Terry Gendusa Nikolai.
Ooh.
And this is actually a survival story. Love a survival story. I love I Survived. I love all of those shows that are about humans like going through it and then coming out on the other side and then being able to tell their story.
Wow.
So, spoiler alert.
As always. This should be implied by now.
Yeah. If I say I watched I Survived, there's not actually a murder.
Okay.
But it is really, really terrible. So Terry's story starts when she meets David Larson, who will become her husband. They are married for 3 years and they have two small daughters together. They were born very close together.
Mm-hmm.
Their marriage had been full of abuse and it started during their honeymoon.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Right out the gate.
Very early. He had told her that she was bought and paid for.
Like cattle?
Yep.
Fuck God.
Nope. I don't like it.
So many disgruntled noises.
Blah, blah, blah. He told her she was bought and paid for, and they were married, and now she had to do what he said. So we're off to a really fantastic start, Obvi.
That made the rules, bud.
No. You need to go back to the 1800s.
This is not...
Friend.
Here's what we not finna do.
Here's
treat
what
women
not
like property.
Do. Yeah. Yeah. So one night David came home in a rage. He was legitimately mad about the way that she was making spaghetti.
There's really only one way. She couldn't have deviated that far.
Right. So she had put the spaghetti noodles on the counter and was while she was boiling the water, and he was mad that the noodles were on the counter.
Who fucking cares?
Right. It's probably a clean counter.
It's just noodles.
And they're gonna get boiled.
Right.
So
okay.
That was what he was mad about. So she picked up her youngest daughter, who had started to cry, and she was only a couple months old at the time.
Mm.
David pushed Terry with the baby in her arms, and Terry watched as her oldest daughter, who was only two, hide under the table. That night, Terry took the girls and went to a woman's shelter, and she filed for divorce. She was granted shared custody of the girls. Ugh.
What?
Yeah. So on January 31st, 2001, the divorce was finalized, and David was... air quotes, distraught.
Was he distraught?
Was he mad about losing his property?
Was he really
Did someone
sad?
Take his things?
I feel really bad.
He was crying and being super dramatic. he looked at Terry and said, "You're going to regret this." Fucking shitballs, man.
That's not even a... thinly veiled threat.
No, and he said it in the courtroom. People were around.
The judge didn't do it.
The judge,
family court?
The judge wasn't there, but they were in the hallway. But both lawyers were there, and Terry's friends and family who had come to support her. yeah.
Chestnuts roasting on a dumpster fire.
He said like a man pickup. Yep, the whole man.
Yeah.
5 years went by, and Terry had remarried, and she had just found out that she and her new husband were expecting their first child together.
Aww.
So wholesome and cute. She had had a restraining order against David, and she insisted on them meeting in public places to do the girl swap, but when he asked her to pick up the girls from the house they had once shared, she agreed. She reasoned with herself that she couldn't ask her friends or family to accompany her every time she needed to get the girls, and she did the thing where she said... it's not that big of a deal. I'm being dramatic.
Ugh.
Talking herself down from being afraid.
Right.
But your body is afraid for a reason. You have to listen to that.
When you have been gaslighted by other people for so long, it makes you gaslight yourself.
Right. I will link a in our Instagram to a book that I want every woman out there to read called The Gift of Fear.
Ooh.
It's by David DeBecker, and it goes through... he's a retired FBI agent, I think. Mm-hmm. And he goes through and interviews women who have been through a sexual assault or attempted murder. And he finds, staring in all of these interviews, at some point, these women say, something was wrong.
And they ignored that feeling.
And they ignored it. And so he goes back and gets really deep into that feeling and says, what happened? What was it in that moment that made you think something's wrong?
Like trying to pinpoint the behavior and the perp.
Yep.
That... started that.
Yep.
I took a self-defense class here locally, and the instructor recommended that book and said that if you take nothing away from the course, read The Gift
read
of Fear.
The book. It's so good. One of the things that the book teaches you is whenever you're on a walk or if you're by yourself and you have a suspicious feeling, look at the people around you and start cataloging them. So, white male, 6 feet, gray t-shirt, running jogging shorts, what kind of headphones was he wearing? And I do this anytime that I'm on a walk. Anybody who passes me, I start analyzing what you're wearing. And it's traumatizing that as a woman that I even have to do that.
It's traumatizing that we have to be taught that.
Right, but just because I want to go on a walk in a scenic wooded area doesn't mean that I can let my guard down. So, Gift of Fear, I will link it. Highly, highly recommend it. So in the house, he kept all the mementos from their wedding day as a way to remind the girls that, and I quote, "Mommy doesn't keep her promises."
Ew! What about the promise to not beat your wife? What right. about that promise?
What about that one?
Yeah.
Forgot about it.
It was really picking and choosing promises here, bud.
Yeah, sounds familiar. All right, so she went to David's to pick up the girls, and when he opened the door, he told her that the girls, ages 6 and 4 at the time, were hiding and that they wanted their mom to come out and find them. He was very calm, and dun, 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 it happened to be the 3-year anniversary of their divorce.
No.
Yeah.
Was boy triggered?
Boy was not having a good day.
Aha. Uh-huh.
When she walked past him to find the girls, he hit her over the head with a baseball bat, and she was stunned but not knocked out. So this is a trigger warning. Everything I'm going to say for the next 15 seconds is rough. He hit her with a baseball bat and I have in my notes, a metric fuck ton of times. Accurate number.
A legit unit of measurement?
Like 15 or 20 times.
Oh my God!
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought you said this is a survival story.
Girl survives.
He donked her right in the noggin 15
to 20 times. With a aluminum baseball bat.
Oh my God.
And she's conscious.
Oh my God.
Like, she doesn't ever lose consciousness.
Oh my, ew. I don't know how many more times I can say, oh my God, but like.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
So he duct taped her hands, feet, and mouth shut. He took off her pants and socks and tried to put her in a trash can head first. She was able to wiggle around and get her feet on the ground, but he had made one error. She still had her cell phone in her hoodie pocket. So, and this was 2003, 2004.
Okay.
So.
That was like a Nokia phone.
Yeah, it was a flip phone. It had like the pull out antenna.
Oh, God.
She probably had a Hello Kitty sticker on the back of it. Yeah. Okay. So. He rolled the garbage bin out into the yard and started filling it with snow, the end of January, and he put her in the back of his pickup truck. I don't think I mentioned the location. I think they're in Wisconsin.
Okay.
When she thought that he was far enough away, she called 911 and just kept repeating his address. And, you know, after being beaten in the head that much...
She's not communicating clearly.
She's not communicating clearly. And she's not... really thinking about saying her name or anything like that. She just wanted the police to get to the location, but she didn't know she'd been put in the back of a pickup truck.
Oh, she thought she'd just been, like, rolled out.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Unfortunately, David was not going to leave her there, and they were on the move. She could hear the police sirens passing her as they drove away.
Oh, my God!
I know.
Oh, that makes me sick.
I can't imagine that feeling of being so helpless.
So close.
So close. And so far away.
Oh my God.
So Terry was actually able to call 911 one more time and give them more information. But the police were already at David's house and they found her sweatpants, a really big blood stain, and an empty gun case. There was an Amber Alert out for her, and the whole community came forward to help look for her. They were looking in unfinished neighborhoods, the woods, everything. The police were waiting for David at his job when he showed up. They took him into custody for suspicion.
Okay.
So this is hours later.
After she's been packed in snow.
Yep.
Bleeding.
And crunched into a trash bin.
Oh my God.
A trash bin. Ugh. And she's small. She's like 5'3", 5'4", or something like that, I think. Like, she's not tall.
Yeah.
But she was still scrunched into a trash bin.
This is why I eat so many tacos. You're not fitting me in any kind of trash bin. You're not fitting me in a trunk.
No.
No.
I got long legs.
I'm hard to kidnap. I'm thick. I'm not going anywhere easy.
Gonna have to just roll ya.
Yes! They're like, will you move faster? And I'll dead weight.
Dead weight it.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
I will dead weight and scream so loud. People will be like, oh my God, take her back. She's fucking annoying.
I hate her.
I hate her. I'd be like, you're doing this wrong.
You call this a knot.
Really? Really? Wow. Wow.
Zip tie is creative.
You're going to get caught. Let me show you how to get out of these guys. Oh, goodness. Okay, so they spent 6.5 hours questioning David, and he told the authorities that Terry didn't show up to get the girls, so he took them to his girlfriend's house before he went to work. Luckily, the girls were found at the girlfriend's house safe and sound, so nothing had happened to them.
Were they like, okay, but what about that blood, though?
The police? They didn't want him to know what they knew. Ooh. So they had just taken him in to be like, we're doing everything we can to find your ex-wife. You know, we know that you want your girl's mother back, all of this stuff.
Ooh, very crafty.
Yeah, they
were
crafty. So they were able to confiscate mm-hmm. my words today. I'm sorry, guys. his belongings, and found a bunch of business cards in his wallet. One of them was for a storage unit in Willing, Illinois. And they lived in Racine, Wisconsin, so the police thought that this was odd. They called the business, and they confirmed that he did rent a locker there and that he had been there that morning.
No.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
Yep. The detective asked the person at the desk to go to the storage unit and see if he could hear or see anything suspicious. This poor kid. I just imagine, like, a 19-year-old wet noodle of a boy trying to...
How does... Like, you are the police. You can't get in contact with a police officer from Illinois and get them out there, like, lickety-split?
I mean, you've got somebody on the phone that can go check.
Listen, I don't do wellness checks.
I mean, they didn't ask him to go in. They just asked him to go near... Like, go to the storage unit and see if he could hear anything.
Oh, okay, fair.
So, if somebody asked me as an apartment manager, go stand outside of this door and let me know if you hear anything. Like, I'm not going in.
No.
But I'll go listen.
I'll do a check. I'll check it out.
I'll do, like, a little audio check. So, he ran back to the phone and said that there was a woman screaming in there. And the detective instructed him to get off the phone and call 911.
You are 911. You're called 911.
He's not 911. He is at the sergeant help desk.
That's the first step to 911. You know what that sergeant does? They turn around and they go, hey, you, go.
Go. At any rate, they immediately went to the storage unit and found the garbage bin with the lid duct taped shut and boxes sitting on top of it. When they opened the bin, they found Terry, and she had been missing for 26 hours at this point.
Oh. I can't say oh my God again.
Yeah.
Boy howdy.
Yeah. 26 hours. Her body temp had dropped to a nearly fatal number. I found 2 degrees. One of them says 76 degrees, and then another set up to 85 degrees. But either way, that is cold for a human.
It's too cold.
But doctors say that she had less than an hour left to live. She had been beaten severely. She had a... crushing injury to her skull. Her eyes were swollen shut. Her feet were so frostbitten, it looked like she had socks on. They had to leave her in the bin until paramedics could arrive.
So they could, like, warm her up.
Mm-hmm. Slow. And they had to, like, I think they had to cut her out of the bin because they couldn't
lift
her out. They were afraid of causing her more harm by trying to move her. Terry lost all of her toes and the baby she was carrying.
Oh.
On August 16th, 2005, David was sentenced to 35 years in prison.
Good.
Terry spent 7 weeks in the hospital to recover. She had to undergo 10 different operations. And the woman, and this is a quote, was pissed that she couldn't jog or go up the stairs or tuck her girls in at night. That's what she was mad about.
What a badass.
I know. She's not even a little bit concerned about her toes or anything like that. She's just pissed that she can't do the things that she used to do.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, good for you.
What an amazing character.
Yeah. She's amazing to listen to. Amazing. She was thankful she didn't lose more, and she could have lost her hands or arms or her legs. Mm. Terry is now an advocate for domestic violence, and she lobbies for Marcy's Law. Marcy's Law seeks to give crime victims meaningful and enforceable constitutional rights, equal to the rights of the accused. Some examples of the types of rights which we believe all victims should be entitled to are: to be treated with dignity and respect throughout the criminal justice proceedings, to be notified of his, her, or their rights as a victim of crime, to be notified of specific public proceedings throughout the criminal justice process, and to be present and heard during those proceedings.
Hell yeah.
And that is the story of Terry Gendusa Nicolai.
Terry Nicolai is a badass.
For sure. You can watch her episode of I Survived, and I actually just found that I Survived has a podcast.
Oh, they do?
Yeah. It's cool. I found it on Apple Podcasts, and Terry is one of the first episodes.
Oh, I love that.
So you can check out her story there. I believe she also has a website. She does a ton of advocacy and speaking out against domestic violence, and I think one of the things that she actually says a lot during her speeches is that she's not an advocate for restraining orders, because that can just upset the person further.
It's not any real protection.
It's not. They can, just because they have a restraining order does not keep them from you.
When somebody is like of this caliber, a restraining order is not going to stop them.
Right. Exactly.
God.
So I've loved this case, and I'm completely in awe of Terry, and I wish her all the best. And I think her husband's name is Nick Nicolai, and I love it so much.
Nick Nicolai. Oh, I love
so
it.
So cute.
Good and job, they, Terry.
They did have another son, so she was able to conceive again. Happy day.
Happy endings.
Happy ending.
We get those so rarely.
It's so rare. So rare for us in a podcast called A Little Bit Grim. So yeah, that was a little bit grim. But at the end of the day, she survived it. She's out there being a badass and an advocate for women.
Proud of her.
Round of applause for Terry. All right. Pause real quick so I can get another beverage.
Yeah. And we're back.
Why can't we stop laughing?
We took a brief hiatus to Google alternate interjection so I don't say, oh my God, 1,000 times. And I think I'm going to go with zoinks.
In which I will say, jinkies. Because we're so stupid.
Va-va-voom.
Oh my goodness.
Oh gosh.
It okay. Makes me think of andale, andale.
Oh.
My dad used to say that all the
andale,
time.
Andale, andale.
He would say it when he was passing another car on the highway. Every single time. Andale, andale, arriba. Like, you are white, Dad.
I love that so much.
What story are you going to tell me?
Well, I'm going to tell you a story that is going to hit close to home.
Ooh.
Both emotionally and geographically.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
I am going to tell you the story of Abigail and Liberty.
The Delphi murders.
The Delphi murders.
Oh, snap. Okay.
So if you're not from our little teeny tiny neck of the woods, Delphi is an incredibly small town. I mean, like, maybe 2,000 people.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Stoplight.
Stoplight. On February 14th, 2017... the bodies of Abigail Williams and Liberty German were discovered near the Monon High Bridge Trail, which is part of the Delphi Historic Trails in Delphi, Indiana. After the young girls had disappeared from the same trail the previous day, these murders have received significant media coverage because a photo and audio recording of an individual believed to be their killer was found on German's smartphone. Despite the thousands of tips that have been sent to the police and the circulation of the recordings of the suspect, to this day, no arrest has been made.
Are you going to talk more about the recordings?
Yes.
Okay. I have the recording, and I can input them into the episode.
Oh, yeah.
So just let me know in the timeline when you want that to happen, and I can make that happen.
I'll tell you. So at 1:35 p.m. on February 13th, 2017, 13-year-old Abigail J., she went by Abby Williams, and 14-year-old Liberty Rose Lynn German, she went by Libby, were dropped off by Libby's older sister, Kelsey, at a trailhead on County Road 300 North, west of the Hoosier Heartland Highway. The girls were hiking on the Monon High Bridge over Deer Creek among woodland in remote Deer Creek Township. At 2:07 p.m., Libby posted a photo of Abby walking the bridge, and they were not ever heard from again. They were reported missing at 5:30 p.m. after they failed to meet Liberty's father at 3:15.
Wow.
The families initially searched for the girls themselves before calling the police. Authorities who quickly searched the area did not initially suspect foul play in their disappearance. However, this changed when both of the girls' bodies were found around noon the next day.
Yeah, I think that that would probably indicate foul play.
Yeah, it's a good indication for sure. They found the bodies about a half mile east of the abandoned Monon High Bridge where they took the photo. The bodies were about 50 feet from the north bank of Deer Creek. The police have not publicly stated nor released any details about how they were murdered.
Right, right.
I
just listened to a podcast over this, so it's all like coming back to me in flashes.
This, I feel like I recently listened to one too.
Chills, Kills, and Thrills, maybe?
Maybe.
It's one of our...
Chilled and Killed, maybe?
Chilled and Killed. It's one of our girl pal podcast friends.
Yeah.
One of them.
Who did it. They did an excellent job. This story hits so close to me because I have somebody that I'm really close to who is really good friends with the German family.
Oh, wow. So, you have a personal connection to the case.
I do. So, like I said, the police haven't publicly stated or released any details at all on how the girls were murdered. As early as February 15th, 2017, Indiana State Police began circulating a still image of an individual reportedly seen on the Monon High Bridge Trail near where the two friends were slain. The grainy photograph appears to capture a Caucasian male, hands in pockets, walking on the rail bridge, head down towards the girls. A few days later, the person in the photograph was named the prime suspect in the double homicide. On February 22nd, law enforcement released an audio recording where the voice of the assailant, through some degree muffled, is heard to say, "down the hill." So we'll insert that clip for you now.
Mm-hmm. I'll probably play it a couple of times because it's quick.
It is quick.
Down the hill. Down the hill. Down the hill. Down the hill.
So it was at this news conference where they released it that the officials credited the source of that audio and the photo to German's smartphone and further regarded her as a hero for having the uncanny foresight for a 14-year-old.
Sweet baby. Baby murderer, you know.
Yeah.
She knew.
Yeah. She had the foresight and the fortitude to record the exchange in secret. It's that gut feeling.
It's that gift of fear. Mm-hmm. She knew that something was wrong.
So she took a picture.
Yeah. What? Oh, God. If you are a teeny bopper, and I know we don't have a lot of young
girls
listening, but someday if somebody finds this and you are ever afraid, please just start recording.
Mm-hmm.
It was Chilled and Killed. They did. The Delphi Chilled and Killed. Yeah. So, hey, girls.
What up, girls?
What up? Hey, hey.
They regarded her as a hero for having the foresight to do that. Police indicated that additional evidence from the phone had also been secured, but they didn't release it so as to not compromise any future trial. So by this time, the reward offered in the case was set at $41,000.
What an odd amount. I wonder why it's that much.
There was a lot of fundraising.
Oh, okay.
On July 17th, officers distributed a composite sketch of someone who, at the time of the investigation, was thought as a person of prime interest in the murders. It had apparently been drawn by police from eyewitnesses to a certain hiker of the Delphi Historic Trails on the day that the girls vanished. On April 19th, 2019, so this was recent, just a little over a year ago, Indiana State Police announced a new direction in the case. And this was so exciting for everybody. In our area, this was such a huge story because Delphi has no crime.
Right.
Like, it is one of the safest towns in Indiana.
People leave their doors unlocked.
Always. You know all of your neighbors.
Yeah.
It's a small town. So when this came out, it was like it went viral all over again. So on behalf of state police and the multi-agency task force, Superintendent Doug Carter released more materials a few days later in a press conference held on April 22nd, 2019. The new materials included a short video recording in which the blue-jeaned and jacketed suspect is seen walking along the rail bridge for a little over a second. Superintendent Carter states that because of the deteriorated condition of the bridge, the suspect is not walking naturally due to the spacing between the ties.
Okay.
That
makes sense.
Yeah. So ISP Detective Jerry Holman said in an interview with RTV6 in 2019, "We thought we were going to get the clues that we needed and be done with this in 4 or 5 days. We realized that this is a totally different type of investigation. And still a killer is out there."
Wow.
Indiana State Police Sergeant Kim Riley says investigators have interviewed over 1,000 people, including possible witnesses, suspects, and anyone who may have information about suspicious activity on the day the girls went missing. To this day, he says between 6 to 8 people work on Libby and Abby's case each day throughout the week.
Wow.
An updated sketch of the suspect was also unveiled, as well as an extended version of the audio recording in which a slight rise in the suspect's voice can be detected as he utters the word "guys" before the phrase "down the hill."
Okay.
So we'll find that updated clip and enter it right now. Ugh. It was further explained that the previously released sketch showing an older man with a goatee and cap is now considered secondary. By contrast, a clean-shaven individual of the newly revised composite is the primary sketch of the prime suspect.
Mm-hmm.
Police say that this person may range from age 18 to 40, but caution that his youthful appearance could make him look younger than his true age. Investigators revealed that they have reason to believe that the suspect might well be hiding in plain sight and that the person is almost certainly familiar with the area of Delphi, whether it be from living or working there or for another reason. An additional plea was made for help in identifying the driver of a vehicle left abandoned off the Hoosier Heartland Highway in Delphi at the former Child Services office between noon and 5 p.m. on the day of the murders. So I'm going to kind of run through really quickly a list of the people of interest.
Okay.
The first one is Paul Etter. On July 23rd, 2019, after receiving a tip, authorities announced that Paul Etter was being considered a person of interest in the murders. Etter was wanted for the kidnapping and rape of a 26-year-old woman on June 22nd in Tippecanoe County. 5 days later, Etter was surrounded by police, and after a five-hour standoff, he committed suicide.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Daniel J. Nations is a registered sex offender from Indiana. He was arrested in Woodland Park, Colorado in September 2017 and charged with threatening strangers on a Monument Trail with a hatchet. The expired Indiana plates on the car Nations was driving was noticed by police, who subsequently discovered an outstanding warrant under his name. Fanning public speculation still further, it was reported that a bicyclist had been fatally shot on the same trail at around the time that Nations was purportedly terrifying passerbys. An El Paso County Sheriff's spokesperson told reporters that, however many similarities there were between the cases, he was not at liberty to disclose them since Indiana investigators did not want any more information released. On January 5th, 2018, Nations was sentenced to 3 years of probation for threatening members of the public in Colorado. However, he was not released since he had an active warrant out on him back in Indiana. On January 24th, Nations was finally transferred to Indiana officials' custody on an unrelated charge, failure to register as a sex offender. In early 2018, authorities said that Nations was no longer considered an active person of interest in the Delphi murders.
Okay.
So, Thomas Bruce, formerly worked as a pastor, is charged with fatally shooting one woman and sexually assaulting two others after having ordered them at gunpoint into the back room of a suburban St. Louis shop for religious supplies.
Jinkies.
Gross. Committed in broad daylight on November 19th, 2018, these crimes put Bruce in the spotlight of the press. Some noted his being of a similar stature, 5'7" to 5'9", to the then current suspect description in the Delphi slings. Also, his wearing a flat cap and navy blue jacket during this attack, not unlike the suspect in the Delphi case. Indiana State Police did look into his possible connection in November. On December 4th, Bruce was charged with no fewer than 17 felony counts related to the St. Louis case and could receive the death penalty.
Oh, my. Okay. All right.
Mm-hmm. So Charles Eldridge was arrested on January 8th, 2019 in Union City, Indiana, armed charges.
Sorry.
You scared the snot out of me, Taylor.
I go to Union City. Oh. That's where my grandparents are from. That's all. I'm sorry. You scare so easily for us having a horror podcast.
My heart is beating so fast. I was so deep into this.
I know. I see that. I apologize.
Union City, Indiana. On charges of child molestation and child solicitation, police in Randolph County alerted the FBI to a potential link between Eldridge and the Delphi murders on account of his strong resemblance to the suspect sketch, albeit this was before the updated composite had come out. So that's kind of the running list. And I know they say that they're not releasing the manner in which the girls died, but I mean, one common denominator between all of these are that they're sex offenders of some sort.
Right. Oh, God. I know. Those poor girls.
So there's a lot of really beautiful memorials and accounts and everything to support these families. In August of 2017, the families announced their plans to build a $1 million sports complex for Delphi in the memory of the girls. Further, in response to a request from German's mother, my plurals, I'm having a hard time.
We're both losing our words today.
I know. Let me start over. Further, in response to a request from German's mother, countless homeowners across central Indiana have had orange lights installed on their front porches, both to commemorate the girls as well as to indicate that their murderer still remains at large.
Oh, I have all over body goosebumps. Hold on.
Let it pass.
Am I going to cry? No. Okay. Yeah.
Well, I wish I could take a picture of this, like, touchdown pose that you have happening right now.
When I get too stressed, it makes me boxy.
It's like a scarecrow.
Oh, man.
It's absolutely devastating and heartbreaking. And there are still... I'll find some of them and post some links to, like, support the girls. There's a Facebook page. There's all kinds of stuff. But that is the very... heartbreaking and mysterious story of Abby and Libby.
Wow. How do you think they're gonna solve it at the end of the day?
I think I'm in line with the police on this one. That I think that them withholding so much information is going to be the reason why they catch the murderer, because that is the only person who has all the knowledge other than the police.
Right. I totally agree. Because this case is so close to us, and we've been kind of off and on obsessed with it as a community for 3-4 years, I have a friend that works at a railroad depot.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not going to give all the details away because I don't want to spoil anything for the case, but the depot that he works for, the trains that he services passed through Delphi.
Yeah.
And he found something on a train that he thought might leak to the case. Mm-hmm. And so he called the police. They came, they bagged it up and collected it as evidence. And we've not heard anything about this piece of evidence one way or the other. So we don't know if it's related to that case or not, but that's
wild. Because they're, right along, I think it's 25 that runs that way to Delphi if you're heading to like Purdue University.
Yeah.
But along that whole way, there's train tracks that run. And that bridge that he was walking across used to be the old railroad.
And that bridge, you guys, is not a over a creek type of a bridge. This bridge gives grown people the heebie-jeebies, the height heebie-jeebies. It is not a safe passage.
No.
It is very high up.
It's like... Think of the Aristocats.
Yeah.
That train scene.
Yeah, 100%. That's exactly what it is. Yeah. It's very scary. I have a friend that I work with. She is obsessed with this case. And
is she?
Yeah, she brought it up when I first told her we were doing a podcast. And I think it's interesting that we chose today to do it because today is her birthday.
Oh, weird. I love when the universe coincides with itself like
Happy
that.
Happy birthday, Beth.
Hi, Beth.
I hope we did the story justice.
You had an excellent idea. Please come fact check me and correct me on anything that I may have been missing.
I'll let her know.
Yeah.
I love that. Wow.
Whew. Well,
hopefully we get updates, and we'll definitely keep you guys updated if anything else breaks in this case.
If nothing else ever comes from this podcast, I would love to be able to do a case closed.
Oh my gosh.
Follow-up episode.
Yeah.
On any of these. Anything that we cover.
When Christine from And That's Why We Drink covered the Golden State Killer. Mm. She did that early. And then it broke that they caught him. They released an episode early.
Just for that.
And I remember I had just purchased my house, so I was painting. And I listened to that, their, like, case closed episode on it. Mm-hmm. So good. And it just makes you feel like it's not all for nothing.
No. It's not. There's a, it's a podcast. I'll find it and I will share it in the Facebook group. But it is a podcast of an old retired chief investigator.
Oh, it's the Murder Squad, Jensen and Hulse.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
Yeah, they do is cold cases, and they just had their first case closed due to the podcast.
Did they really?
Yeah. They've been doing it for like a year and a half, I think. And it was, it's been over Christmas. Wow. They had their first, a listener found the key to close the case and wrote in and said, I know what's happening here. And they were able to make an arrest.
Oh, I'm one goosebump.
I know. I think that's why we do this, is because we want answers to these things, and we want justice, and we want the world to be a better place. Mm-hmm. And the only way that we can make the world a better place is to talk about all the terrible things that are happening and bring awareness to them.
I think glossing over, like, all of the really horrible things that happen to people is doing them a disservice.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I think that might be part of the allure. Bring that to your therapist. Have her analyze it. Get back with me.
All right. I have to cancel my therapy appointment next week because I have to go to Iowa.
Oh, ew.
Sorry.
You're going to need therapy when you get back.
How mad are you going to be if I go to the Velisa Axe Murder House? Okay. Mad.
Not mad.
You'll look mad.
You'll have to get... That's just how my face looks. That's just how I be looking. Fine, as long as we can go to Salem, Massachusetts.
Sold.
Okay.
Sold.
All right. Well, join us next time when we're in Salem, Massachusetts.
Yeah. Probably not next time, but like in the future.
There's going to be many next times.
Yes.
I didn't specify which one.
You're right.
Yeah. Follow us on the social meds.
Oh my God, I listened to another podcast the other day where they said social meds.
You were lying.
No. And I said,
Look at you.
Not just us.
Trendsetter.
Yeah. Follow us. We have a Twitter. We have an Instagram. We have a Facebook group.
Tell you this now while we're recording, so in case you murder me.
It's live. Live on the air for all to hear.
Won't be uploaded if you murder me in 30 seconds.
Probably not.
I got a new phone.
Oh, no.
I had to re-log into all of my social meds.
And you don't know our password for Twitter.
Not only do I not know the password, when I enter our email, it says, no Twitter account associated with this email address.
I don't think you signed up under our email address. Why don't we get emails from Twitter then?
It's not signed up under my email address.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
All right, we'll figure it out.
So find us on new Twitter.
we'll keep you updated on what that's going to be like.
God.
Oops. That's fine.
It is what it is. Listen, we're new. We're struggling. We're, you know.
It's fine.
It is what it is. We hope you have a great day. Yeah. Great night. Great day tomorrow.
If you have a story you want to share with us, send it to alittlebitgrim@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
And if you like us, please spend 5 seconds and give us a review.
It is so helpful to us.
It's so helpful, and it brings us such joy. And if you don't like us, at least make it funny.
Help. We need validation.
Yes. Because we think we're funny.
Yeah.
But we tell each other that all day.
All of a sudden, this is a podcast just for you and me.
I mean, isn't it always?
Yeah, I guess it is. All right, fine. All right.
All right. We'll see you next time.
Goodbye.